Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. Yes.
Look, if the red heifer dies before we go live, don't tell us. Don't tell us, because I got it on a DVR, okay?
The seventh seal's open.
Yeah, it's not. Box. I'm checking on my phone. It's not coming up.
I know
Hey, hey, hey. Okay.
Now we're definitely live.
We are live now. Hey.
Great, but people are already leaving, and today's the red heifer day, the day that you need to be here the most.
We're here now. We're live now.
All right. It didn't come up on mine, and I don't know. Maybe I'm already being suppressed. I'm not surprised. It wouldn't be the first time, because I have a very hardcore derp with Kerb today, because I got Rabbi Richard Grove.
I just
Grove.
Suck at this courage.
Was it because of you? Look, it's not called the well-run show with Kerb.
Yeah, it was my fault.
I was very clear. This is the derp with Kerb.
Mark's a man for owning up to it. Well played.
Yeah. There yeah. Okay. So Richard Grove, my rabbi, who first sent me Tragedy and Hope a long time ago. And I also got Dan Richards from Dedunking, which is a good... What is it, archaeology and archaeoastrology? What are you?
Yeah. Archaeoastronomy, archaeology, Atlantis, you know, lost civilizations and stuff. I pick at science a lot when a lot of the debunkers and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, your channel's pretty good, I think, because it's really hard to hit a sweet spot where you're honestly engaging with an idea and before it goes overboard to like some new age shit or, you know, like. It's just such a fine line for some reason. I mean, I don't know exactly why, but Richard has the great Grand Theft World podcast, which you actually have a full map of the entire, like of the whole scam so far, don't you? Yeah.
I mean, I got parts of the scam. I got 10,000 different nodes of the scam and 50,000 links of the scam. But if I were to click around in this model, this is the inside of the CIA, the Office of Policy Coordination. This is where the British inserted their agenda inside of our agency. And then you have a lot of espionage and coups and other things that tie back into the East India Company's heroin trade. So like OSS was set up by the British. There's a whole lot to it, but I spent a lot of time learning and studying and organizing, and I've been running this model since 2008. So it's grown substantially. Yeah. And I made it as a work of art after the artist Mark Lombardi. He was a conceptual artist that did research into like the Bin Ladens, the James Bath family, the Saudis, George Bush, all before 9/11. And sadly, he died right before 9/11. So he's dead now.
So
you have to be careful.
He was looking into Osama Bin Laden before 9/11. Why is that?
Oh, yeah. Because the Bin Laden family did business with the Bush family all the way back in the 70s.
So I knew that, but this is where what I think now. I'm just going to throw out my wild derps that I think about it. Bin Laden, I think, was some kind of the guy that shot Reagan, Hinckley. He was like a Hinckley, Sirhan guy from a good family. Like these families put a kid up, you know, to do a thing to help out.
Sure. I mean, Bin Laden, he had a base. He had a headquarters in 1996 in London. So if you go back far enough and you see how MI6 created them, you know, helped to create the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, tapped Ibn Saud so he could be a king and have his own country. And then you follow it up through the use of Arab proxy armies sold from MI6 to the CIA Dulles's. It's not hard to see, like, maybe he's just a foreign agent who does convenient things to get American foreign policy to aim in certain directions for the goals of the establishment.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've never seen terrorism work in favor of anybody but the establishment. Like, I've never seen, like, terrorism where it's like, oh, this really... people are really on our side now.
What, by establishment? If by establishment you mean maybe Israel back in the day, that's how they got founded, King David hotel bombing. And then terrorism became a thing after 1946.
Yeah, they invented it. They're like, we need to come up with some new stuff. I mean, that part, without even looking at your fine map, I just assumed all that before I even looked at the map. Because as now, I don't believe anybody's got a real thing. I like Dan's debunking show, though. But just watching every single thing I watch, I got to sit there and be like, why are you doing this? Like, what's your, you know? And it don't, I won't throw away information from somebody just because I think there's some, you know, astroturfed asset. Like, you can still get information out of people, but I don't trust, I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know? Like,
well, there's a couple aspects. Like, we could just practice that. Condemnation prior to examination is the epitome of ignorance. So I don't want to condemn something I haven't even had the cojones to inspect, right?
Yeah, right.
We don't need to have opinions on everything. We don't have to be so certain. And we need to learn how to dismiss things that are arbitrary and study things that are real. And there's a whole art to that. And I think what Dan does for a living demonstrates that, because it's all based on observations and direct evidence. And that points to our reality.
Okay, so then I'll just get right to my question for Dan. Why are they hiding evidence of giants? What is the Smithson family up to? I'm just cutting right to it. Where are they?
Well, if they have giants, if they have giant bones, it would definitely cause a lot of problems, especially after science changed its modus operandi in the mid 1900s. It changed from like, we must prove the Bible right to we must prove the Bible wrong. And then if you assume the giant's bones did exist in the mounds in America, like a lot of people do, well, that would explain why they were snapping them up at that point, because there would be a very big problem.
That sounds like the change in format to gangster rap from regular Fresh Prince back in the day.
That was the LA riots. If you think about that, it was really kind of the watershed moment. As far as before that, you had, do you remember the band Arrested Development?
Yeah.
They were like hardcore. They had Africans and N-words, and they were very much like, there's two different groups of us and we don't like this. And after the LA riots, it's like, fuck that noise, we're just all in the same boat now.
Yeah, the riot was a big one. And then I remember it like really vividly, like around time when MC Hammer had to not wear genie pants.
Yep.
And funny, he had to, like, talk about asses.
If you look him up, MC Hammer was actually hard as fuck. He sent he sent people to his houses and shit to thump. Yeah. Like,
he sent people after Redman. He sent people to after talk Redman? To Redman.
Oh, no shit.
Not Brian Redman.
Oh.
Redman, the rapper Redman.
Oh, okay. I was like, holy fuck. No wonder, you know. Small world.
Yeah. I told Redman, don't say that about Hammer. So I just now sent Mark, I sent you that Breaking Points with I call them homeschool and home haircut, Ryan Grimm and the other chick. And so the video is Breaking Point. I just saw it, and it's them watching Speaker of the House Harry Potter talking about the red heifers. Okay.
Now, well, he sexually assaulted the wall the other day because.
Well, that's a big part of it, is making out with that wall. But can I see comments, Mark? Does anybody know what the hell the red heifer is, like where that's from? Because I don't remember that in the Bible at all. But
he doesn't mean from Texas either.
Well, according to a quick look, it says that the ordinance found in Numbers 19, which outlines a purification process necessary for temple worship. So they're pulling it from Numbers.
That's a bit of a stretch, I got to say.
That Numbers is the part with where they eat all the different things, and they, you sacrifice this when you do that, and you put these people over there when they do it. Numbers is one of the fucked parts of the Bible, one of the many. But
the Talmud, it's all, I thought that was some Talmudic thing to make a big deal about that, because it, Johnson, here, wait, let me get the video. Will you put that video part of it up, Mark, of where Mike, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson is talking about. He is creepy as hell, this guy, too, by the way. And he's from New Orleans, or no, not New Orleans, Louisiana. And he's in something called a covenant marriage, which I just thought was called marriage, but they have an extra special one. We can't like divorce for 5 years.
Well, also, while Mark's bringing that up, there's one thing the Zionists have a book, and it's like, this land was promised to us by the guy who didn't have it on him at the time, so we're picking it up now. So that's, I can understand that. You believe a story you've been told since you were a kid. But Mike Johnson's just like, I really, really believe the story they're telling. It's not even about him. Because the Christian Zionism that he represents comes in from the Scofield Bible, which is like the Talmud for Christians.
Yeah, right. And that's all Freemason horseshit too. And by the way, did you see they're putting Albert Pike statue back up? The one that got pulled down during BLM.
Mike Johnson became the first House Speaker.
Anyway, fast forward past his Ryan's a terrible. You thought this is a Derp with Curb show. You should watch Ryan delivering a story. Ryan's like,
Welcome to Broken Points.
There we go. Okay, so first this hillbilly who brought, is Mike Johnson on first in this? It was so bizarre.
That there be a temple that we worship him there, as it says in Micah 4. Is that?
That's a guy.
Yeah. Oh boy, Red Heifer Apocalypse. Fuck, I love this.
It's a little bit earlier, Mark. It's a little bit earlier.
Location. When you see Mike. What is that? By numbers.
We have the red heifers. Now we need some land. Jesus fucking.
Now we need olives.
Third temple is being delivered by Amazon. Bezos sent it to him, I think.
Oh my god.
It could be delivered any day now.
Had a bunch word of and they're reading their
Bible, and in the Bible it says, find a red heifer. So they called me, and I didn't.
Yeah, he's a Texas.
Go get find a red heifer for me. Because the fathers of faith said, speak to the children in the lands and bring us a red heifer so that we might do this ceremony.
So just to underscore, this is the crew here that Mike Johnson brought.
I can't tell if the video is skipping or
right Ryan here. Skipping. No.
Oh, it's Ryan skipping, not the video skipping. Ryan skips like bad. Didn't you think the red heifer would be like Bryce Dallas Howard?
I'm blown away by this, to be honest with you. This is like, I mean, this is
keep going.
This is fucking nuts.
I thought it was way in the beginning. We saw Mike Johnson's stupid little Harry Potter head in the beginning of this video. It's not.
Mike Johnson.
That land has to be at a certain elevation and a certain.
This part.
It's earlier. You guys see Mike Johnson talk. He really is a little twat.
3 minutes.
Like, yeah, way earlier. Keep going. Okay, keep going. This might be before this even.
Isn't kissing a wall idolatry? No. I'm confused.
No, though God will bless those who kiss Israel's wall. Okay, a little bit further, a little earlier. Yeah, earlier. Like right there, just test because it's like a lot of. Is it working? No?
Doing it live.
What is the slowest?
Yeah, why it sucks.
Is it? Yeah, what the? Look, if we miss this red heifer sacrifice, we're not going to
get. We could all get together and blame. Know. Should we blame StreamYard?
I don't fucking know, but I want to know because I grew up with Bible shit my whole life. But we were Jehovah's Witness, so it wasn't like this Hal Lindsey, late great Planet Earth. Remember Hal Lindsey?
I do.
Yeah, so that was the big thing back then was Scofield Bible nonsense and John Nelson Darby, PSYOP Christianity. But where I live in Texas, I still know people that are way into that. That I'm surprised that that's still a thing to the degree that it is. Because if I watch all the Bible Beater channels on here, they're not all about that like they used to be. There's a very definite shift. And I don't know exactly what happened, but I do know that's all part of that British thing, isn't it? The whole reason we have this weird Israel fetish is because of England. Am I wrong about that, Richard?
I mean, that's the only reason America would have such a fetish. And then you have to get to the root of why the British had that fetish. But part of it's anti-Semitism and part of it is opportunism. The chance to get their empire worldwide by working with international bankers who eventually founded their own country and got some stolen questionable origin nuclear weapons that they don't declare. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the situation over there. So I don't know that it was well thought out on the American side, like how we got involved, but certainly the history of England goes back into the 1840s with Lord Shaftesbury making a proclamation to return the Jews to Palestine. Now, England had kicked the Jews out a couple times throughout history, and then that kind of anti-Semitism might have still existed in Britain to some extent, but I think there's also an opportunist sector of the royal family and the families that give them power. And they very much were in bed with like the Rothschild banking family from the early 1800s all the way through present day. Like, you know, Marina Abramovich is over there, Rothschild Institute, giving presentations and stuff. And these people seem to be more powerful than King Chucky III and his family. So
yeah, he's not like the tippy top. No. Yeah, well, I mean, he's gross. I don't understand why they're mad about, you know, you got Muslim grooming gangs and all that, but you know, your king is totally down with that. Also, he claims to be descended from Muhammad and Dracula and right. King David.
Vlad,
do you think he's telling the truth about that?
Probably. I you know, we should check into it. Check his DNA.
Oh no, dude, that's easy to find. There's a guy who does.
It's much easier than if he was in Israel, then you couldn't find out his DNA. That's illegal.
Okay, explain the Israel DNA thing to me, because I've heard. I know you're right, but I don't know.
Yeah,
exactly.
You need a court order, because it would upend the story, the narrative, right? If everyone just saw that they're related to people from Eastern Europe and not back to the 12 tribes of Israel, it would crush the people who are atheists, who use the religious people as human shields to kind of hold that country as, you know, a Western maritime kind of outpost in that area, okay. Right? It has access to the sea. I mean, the British have needed an outpost in that area all the way back into the Suez Canal days when Disraeli and Lord Rothschild got together to buy the canal in the first place. So there's always been a lot of turmoil around there. And what people don't kind of recall around Balfour Declaration, they always just think of Palestine. But the Sykes-Picot Treaty put a lot of that stuff either under French or British control. So the British had a mandate over Egypt. They had each of those countries, the French Rothschilds and the British Rothschilds, both had the right to redraw all those maps after World War I. And then, you know, that really upends the narrative. So between the eugenics DNA line and lineage and the official timeline contradicting the official narratives, I think a lot of people have started to figure that out since 10/7.
Well, also, you know, that whole, I mean, I don't want to use words like genocide just because it's what the law says about what they did, but there's that whole ethnic cleansing they just did in broad daylight. That's a bit of a tell. I don't understand how, like, even Trump said they're doing that. Like, for Trump to go,
yeah, he didn't know it was a bad thing to say, because he puts his foot in his mouth all the time. But like Ben Gurion and the original founders, the founding fathers of Israel, if you will, they spoke explicitly. There's a lot of quotes. David Ben Gurion, like 1938, in his journal, talking about how they're going to have to expel these people, and these people know it's their land. So we're going to have to just go in and take it by force, and they all need to leave. We can't leave any of them behind. There's a whole lot of quotes to that.
It sounds just like what's that painting in America where they chase all the Indians off the land, and Lady Liberty's got a torch, like, get out of here, Native.
Yeah,
it sounds like that, like classical American frontier talk.
Yeah, it's not unlike that, and it's as little known as, you know, like the archaeology and archaeoastronomy that Dan studies. Right. Like, these are things that exist in our environment. If you just take your five senses and go, look, wow, that's not what they told me it is. And these things might need some thought, some human creativity and consciousness applied to understanding what's going on there, instead of thinking that we already know the answers to all these things.
I'm more of a Professor Dave guy myself.
Professor Dave is hilarious, dude.
Yeah. What is he a professor of?
Nothing.
A bad haircut?
That's just his title.
He's so snarky.
And that's, you know, he started out shooting at flat earthers. So that's, you know, they're about 10, 15 years ago. That was easy shit on YouTube. You see a lot of guys who are just, and you don't have to do anything. What research do you have to do to debunk a flat earth to get in a fucking airplane? Ah, ta-da. So then you just call him an idiot, retard, bonehead over and over again. And then you get money. And so now he's like branching off. And so dipping his toes in other stuff and playing the same cards. It's hilarious. Oh, yeah.
He's great on COVID. You know, anybody wants to talk about any of this stuff, okay, before you say anything stupid, I want to know how many boosters you had, motherfucker.
Zero.
Are you up to your 14th booster? No, as
I
you
had
should
zero,
be?
Zero shots.
I had two, and I regret it. I had two COVID Pfizers. I only got one COVID, though, out of my two shots. So scores 2-3, I guess, is a win.
I was working on eBay at the time, so I, you know, they didn't tell me I needed to have one or I was fired. So fuck them. I just did what I did.
Yeah, no, is everybody moving on from that? Like, that's not a big deal.
Oh, well, it's right where they want the Epstein list to be in 5 years. It just
yeah, right. Well, I mean, there's not a list of Epstein. There's not a list. It's just like who did they blackmail? What the people that they got video of doing the shit, who are they and why are they still in power? They should be put in a wood chipper. I thought that was the remember Trump was getting in. They were all looking up how to commit suicide and call a lawyer. Mm-hmm. That was the big story. And then he decided to make a deal with that. I don't understand what his thinking is. But based on the Albert Pike statue going back up, I bet it's some Freemason horseshit, right?
Something's goofy going on. I mean, the way that this went from, you know, in the day of the internet, you can't hide clips anymore. 2,000 people slap them on a hard drive the day it comes out. So, like, you know, 20 years ago, if Hillary fainted walking down the street, she'd have bought that clip up, and then that's fucking it. But now, by the time they even knew it existed, it was all over the internet. So,
right.
By the way, Hillary thing,
did you see the Russian files that for some reason Russia didn't drop? Mm-hmm. That Hillary was going through wild mood swings and hormone problems and she has all these health problems?
I didn't see that, no. But
yeah, that they weren't hiding just a touch of pneumonia. She had some massive problem or there's like four Hillaries. Oh. That's the only explanation is one person has massive personality problems or there's like, you know, 20 Hillary clones that degrade or some shit. Well,
that would explain some of those clips of her looking like that fucking Ted, I forget the guy's name, the preacher that did the same goofy eyed shit when he's talking about his airplane. God damn it. Ken Copeland.
Yeah, Kenneth Copeland.
That took me a hot minute. Had to tap into my 80s brain. What did mom watch in 86?
Did your mom watch Kenneth Copeland?
Oh, 700 Club, Kenneth Copeland. Let's put it this way. I wasn't even allowed to watch Star Wars at a certain point because the Force was too close to Eastern mysticism. So, like, Doctor Who was my go-to because it was always ghosts or some other, or always aliens, not ghosts or demons.
Oh, yeah, I had that. Wait, and what religion were you?
Speaking in tongues, Christian.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's like a magical kind.
Yeah, we were praying in tongues and putting hands on people and dancing in the aisles kind of holy roller shit.
Well, it's just voodoo. It's not a big deal. You know. They just had you doing some kind of animistic.
It totally didn't fuck with my head. Not
well,
at all.
Do you remember having, because I have friends that did that. Jehovah's Witnesses don't do that. But I do remember having friends that were in that. And they were, it's like going to improv and loosening up to improv with the class. It actually kind of looks like acting exercises from some 60s hippie. Damn it, dude. You know,
that's so on point.
Yeah, like it's almost like the living theater with that. Remember the bad guy from Poltergeist 2?
Uh-huh.
The creepy old man, and his name is Julian something from the living theater.
Yes. God.
I would love to put a picture of him up, but I don't know how to share on here, Mark. Okay. And Mark cannot share. Can I?
We're going to teach you to use OBS, Kurt, and you just press buttons like that and make stuff come up. Okay.
Well, if you could wait, so I can bring it up on my.
We can switch over to OBS.
Yeah, they, you gotta send your video signal.
There's a little button in the center of your.
Yeah, it says present.
Yeah, I thought it was like button that presents plus in a TV.
Yeah, share screen.
No.
Okay, there's one that says present right next to the window of me. Slides and PDFs, video file, image file, share screen.
You got it.
Okay, which one do I want?
Yes. Share.
Okay. Share screen? That's why. Okay.
Yeah, we got a great comment. Is this a gay meeting channel? The answer is yes.
That's exactly what it is. Okay.
This is exactly what it is.
It says Chrome tab, window, entire screen.
Dun, 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 dun.
Which one I want?
Well, do you want just the tab? Do you
Pick
want
the
entire
that,
Chrome?
What you're looking for.
Yes.
Yes. I want it all.
Select tab to share. Okay. But why does it just have... I don't have... It's like it only shows the link you sent me in Gmail, so I don't know what the hell this is. I want to put a picture up of Julian from the Living Theater. So, you know that movie Poltergeist with that creepy old man? Do you know all the stories about him?
Not all the stories, no.
A bunch of them I got off of NT Lawyer, and also from Jamie Deluxe, who would like search. He used to go through all the blind items to figure out who it is, you know. But this dude was such a disgusting pederast that he would have pictures. He would have like CP pictures up in his little trailer, and he would play loud sounds of pornography so that people could hear walking by, and people got really disturbed by it. Okay. And then supposedly the Indian guy that died after that, he was that actor, that the Juicy Fruit guy from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Mm-hmm. This is the Hollywood rumor that he did something to his ancestors, calling his ancestors to do something, and then that guy ended up dying, but then he died right after too.
Oh wow.
Wow. Yeah. And he's real. First of all, why does he have a job there? Number one. He looks like a creep. Even as a young man, he actually looked less gross as like, let me sing to you, child. He looked less gross as that than he did as a young guy. As a young guy, he looks like something out of Harry Potter. And he's just some 60s like living theater. It's always some weird coven. And you know, most of this worst of the Satan stuff comes out of hippie bullshit, you know? Like in California, like there's so many. Yeah. I mean, that guy, you know what's suspicious about him is he did no drugs.
What?
Is that gross? Yeah.
That's not just gross. That's, I mean, come on.
He did no drugs, but he liked the people around him doing a lot of drugs. Uh-huh. And that's very suspicious, I would say. Yeah.
It is all kinds of suspicious. That's Cosby levels of suspicious right there, right? You take two of these. I'm going to sit here and watch.
No, Richard, that guy didn't get fired from Poltergeist either. Poltergeist 2.
No, but the girl ended up dying later, as you recall, and then her body would be exhumed twice, once under fake credentials. There's so much bizarre shit surrounding that.
There's a lot of weird shit in movies in general. Like you start looking into a lot of that stuff. I mean, wasn't it Poltergeist 1 where the fucking there was a real cemetery, like they're swimming around in the mud with real bodies and shit? It's like, dude.
Not only that, it was supposed to have an R rating, but because Spielberg is like a titan of a name, it got a PG.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's like a guy pulling his face off, and you know, like there's all kinds of wild shit that shouldn't have been PG. And I remember, you know, like Temple of Doom, even was that PG-13?
That's when they came out with the PG-13. It was Temple of Doom and Red Dawn that were deemed like too over the top to be PG, but they couldn't afford to have them rated R, so they came up with a new rating that year. I'm pretty sure those were the first two movies I saw that I think were PG-13.
I think it was Gremlins was the one that got the discussion started, if I remember right, because so many kids were going to see, because there was like the big one was putting a dude in a microwave and putting a dude in a blender. Those two parents all. And so there was a lot of discussion. I mean, Beastmaster had a set of tits in it, and it was rated PG. So there was a lot of discussion. The Blue Lagoon, right? You're fucking topless, fucking running all over the goddamn PG.
That was PG?
Fuck yeah, it was.
Oh, we were a lot more French of a country back then.
Oh, man.
we were a lot. We were a lot more of a Macron of a country back then.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Hey, I want to get comments, Mark, from people. And you know, feel free to let some of the negative ones in. I know there's probably not many.
Hey, for Dan's benefit, Lawrence Rockefeller has a homestead on Jekyll Island, and it's built on top of an Indian burial ground that there were allegations one time that they were giant bones there. And I just thought it was interesting because I didn't take the allegations as anything more than someone trying to get tourists. But the fact that Lawrence Rockefeller built his property on top of that burial ground, I was like, those people do. So they gave it more credence.
That's
so
the Temecuans, or I might not be saying it right. I say Temecuans. But they're big as shit. And they have like NBA bones. And I suppose you could still see there, but I don't know if it was like 9 feet tall or something. But I thought it was like 7-8 feet tall people. They have bones that you can still see there is what I thought. They don't have them no more.
I've never been. I didn't go to Jekyll Island when Ed was there for the conference.
Oh, well, that's just some NBA bones they had that you could look at. But they were the very light-skinned natives. My girl's from Florida. She used to work at the Getty, too. She knows all about that.
Oh, right on.
and because the stone altar, but they didn't have the right kind of stone, so it might have been Kachina or something, she was telling me. And the story is very strange, okay, because they, I think the Huguenots got there first, and the Indians were friendly, but they were into some wild child sacrifice kind of stuff. And the women would bring their firstborn and sacrifice the baby. Now, this is how it's written, and I don't know if you know anything about this, Dan. The way it's written is they sacrifice the baby to the chief, like not to a god, which that really stuck out to me, which is really strange. But maybe he's a god, I don't know. So, and it's like it's really gruesome. It's like they have like some club that they kill the baby with, but that's just what they do. And then Lawrence Rockefeller had it when is that the guy that worked on the Fed? That's where they met for the Fed to make the Fed, right?
I think he bought it after they did all that, but yeah, they did have a secret meeting in Jekyll Island in December of like 1930.
They built all their houses where the original village was. They all put their like lodgings on. They're all obsessed with Indian stuff.
That
part
goes back to the 1880s, 1860s, when the world's elite used to go to Jekyll Island, and they had like the first transatlantic telephone cable call. There's a whole bunch of famous stuff that they did prior to that. And they used to have some big Eyes Wide Shut type of meetings, or more like what Kubrick shows in The Shining, where there's all those people in those tuxedos with the with the dinner tuxedos. That's like a Pilgrim Society club that came along later, after the Jekyll Island group was just the big wigs from around the world.
And the Pilgrim Society, that's the one, the creepy one that's above even
Council on Foreign Relations.
Yeah.
So Pilgrim Society starts in Britain in the late 1800s. And there's people like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who in the history of the Pilgrim Society book, there's a quote about Conan Doyle talking about how we should bring America back into the empire. And that's kind of around the same time Cecil Rhodes is doing the same thing. So America gets a Pilgrim Society in 1902 to carry out the will of Cecil Rhodes. As Rhodes dies in 1902, they take the Anglo-American network national, and then that seeds all the robber barons and the movers and shakers so that they'll approve the Federal Reserve when they put Wilson in 1911 through 1914, when his campaign speeches led to him being brought in, and then they brought in the Federal Reserve. And then by 1921, the British installed the Council on Foreign Relations, which is really just the Royal Institute of International Affairs to steer our foreign policy. So there's like a step-by-step set of evidence and artifacts that illustrate all that, but they don't teach us in school for some reason about any of that.
Did you go to regular school, Dan, or just like you had to jump rope with a snake?
I did some regular school and some private schooling, some Christian school growing up. The Christian school was definitely interesting when it's like a big focus on things like the bombardier beetle and how the fuck could this possibly have evolved and stuff like that.
How could it have?
Well, I mean, each one of those chemicals could probably do something on its own. It's probably the deal. But yeah, it's you know, a lot of that stuff was I almost view a lot of it as kind of an anti-education. I know the Bible very well for somebody who doesn't believe in a lot of it. But
right. How I am. I know a lot of it, and that's why that red heifer thing people used to talk about, and I'd be like, what? I don't remember what? This ever remember being that. A thing.
Yeah. I had to look it up, too, because I didn't remember it either.
It's some Talmudic thing that these Christian Zionists all got together and make a big deal about. But the very idea, if you want to be in lore about your beliefs, like why you would need to be a part of that at all as a Christian is so makes no sense outside of some weird occultism. That probably has nothing to do with Christianity, is my guess.
They're probably like, dude, we got these guys to kiss a wall. What's next? Red heifers to bring about the end of the world. Okay. You know,
that spooky witch face lady they all like, what's her name? The artist. And she made a wailing wall in Ukraine with what looks like dildos coming out of it, but it's crystals. And it's her tribute to the wailing wall. Abramovich. Maria Abramovich.
Have you guys seen that? Dan, this is a question because it's an archaeological site. There's a site in Czech Republic right outside of Prague, and it's a bone chapel. So it's a church made of human bones entirely. All the chandeliers.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I don't know a lot about it. It's interesting. Morbid as fuck.
Can I read some of these? I just now realized that I was in the wrong tab. All right, so Mr. Natra said, Kirp has Lord of the Rings characters on. That's pretty close, a little bit.
There's no Palantirs here.
Yeah. I do get called Radagast from time to time. It's the shit in my beard.
Okay, AP Productions. Kurt, what did you mean when you said on a different video that most people probably aren't original human? So, okay, I got that from Nathan Reynolds, who took your class, right?
Yeah, he's an autonomy graduate.
Yeah, and because his family is like, I think the Reynolds wraps that bloodline.
Yeah, he has a huge family lineage. And there are, you know, many, many generations of occult knowledge that he's been expressing to people and sharing.
It's wild, dude. But the thing with him is he's telling shit that's so wild. And then he also will give you like threads to pull on to look up stuff. And everything, a bunch of, you know, some stuff you'd had to be there. But a lot of it has checked out. And especially the stuff about COG, continuity of government. Because when that Trump shooting happened and that Kimberly Cheadle woman was the Secret Service, but that she's from COG. And you can see all these videos from Iran-Contra. And after they shot Trump's ear, they bring it up here and there and it gets stifled immediately. They're like, we got to stop. Like, they won't allow, they don't want people knowing about that. But that's what's under Denver Airport.
Well, if you're talking continuity of government, I just watched this Epstein expose that came out a couple days ago. It's called The Disturbing Side of Epstein. No one is talking about by this guy called Coop okay. Or Co-op, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you look at Zorro Ranch, it just looks like a mansion until you start looking at Zorro Ranch. And you're like, this is a deep underground bunker type of continuity of government. It's beyond the means of an individual to create such a thing and then to have it protected in New Mexico for all those miles. And then to have Tom Ford, the fashion designer, own 12,000 acres around him. So there's a buffer zone and there's still active security rolling because they show Rusty Shackelford with his family and he's like droning around there. And you can see the red security van come out and threaten him. And he's like, I'm with my family. Don't shoot me. So there's like, I'm pretty up on this story, I'm pretty up on this story, and yet I found that half hour last night. I was like, "This is pretty interesting," and I'm going to show people.
Did you see the chick that says she's Epstein's niece?
Yeah.
Yo,
think? I'll listen. Not everything is congruent. There's a couple contradictions. Well, her recounting of some of the stories I think is incongruous with some of the timeline that I'm familiar with, but also the idea is just separate the message from the messenger. Right. Because the message is what she's saying. If it matches up to reality in certain places, that might be interesting and useful. Other places, it gets confusing and then you don't know whether to believe or not. So you don't have to believe.
Yeah, no, that's
just
my
take
whole
what matches
philosophy.
Reality and move along. And sometimes those contradictions. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I don't look because they put out people all the time to give you half truth. I mean, you know, Zawi Hawass, if I don't know if you saw him on Rogan.
Joe, read my book, Pyramids.
Pyramids. Body.
Drink every time he says
pyramids. My friend. It's like they were haggling over a carpet.
Every grain of sand we have inspected. Every grain, Joe.
My friend.
Me and Jimmy Corsetti. Me and Jimmy Corsetti were lucky enough to be able to ask Sahi a few questions on Piers Morgan, and that was kind of fun because being on Piers Morgan, it ain't like being on Rogan where it's like, you know, play nice. It's like I told Jim before we went on, it's like, man, this is like Jerry Springer and we're the Jilted Exes that come on halfway through.
Yeah.
You know those motherfuckers you hate? So it was
Piers
fun.
Piers is a sack of shit, dude. He loves having four discordant noises on at the same time. And what is this? I like how he jumped ship on Israel like the rat he is, as if he didn't know the whole time what was going on. But he judged for the most like when he can optics his way out of it. Mm-hmm. And he's still got shit, which he should. I mean, anyway, that's Zawi Hawass. He's not used to being asked any questions. That's
Yeah, he didn't. He was very angry about it pretty quick, but we managed to get him to not leave, which was a good thing, right?
He didn't. Okay, I thought he led an expedition there with the goddamn Edgar Casey Society.
He was put through school by the Edgar Casey Society. Mark Lehner, which is his like number one white boy friend from here in the States, put through school by the Edgar Casey Society. Get this one. The first carbon dating done on the Giza Plateau was financed by the Edgar Casey Society. About 10 years later, it was done again by David Koch.
Hey,
David
Dan, Koch will you Foundation. Explain the Edgar Casey angle? Like, what was he all about? Like, how did he use his scientific observation to find stuff? Or like, what was he all about?
You know, it's tough to say for sure as a guy that's skeptical like myself. I mean, a lot of his predictions were clearly wrong. I mean, about 30% of them seem to be accurate. It's kind of in the Nostradamus realm where it's enough where a lot of people are going to take him serious, but it's still more often wrong than not. However, he said a lot of really wild shit about Atlantis. And that has been kind of a galvanizing thing for the Edgar Cayce Foundation. And I forget what the, it's ARE, I think is the name of the alternate research, something or other, I think is another group of theirs. But point is,
yeah, that's
These guys have been part of them since day one. Like Zahi Hawass and Mark Leonard, these are the guys that are constantly saying the Sphinx is only 4,000 years old or 4,500 years old. There's no way we can prove all this. We can prove all that. And both of them got their start in the woo camp, right? Fucking following psychics and shit. So,
I want to ask all these people? I'm going to meet one of them, okay? One of these real like scholars and shit. But how come all of your research is paid for by rich goofballs who think they came from Atlantis? I know that that's fake and it's not a real thing, but all the people above you that pay for you to fucking exist, they all think that's what they are. So does that ever, affect your science? Because the money is being written by a wizard. You're getting a check from a goddamn wizard, but you're going to be skeptical after that. Okay.
It's one of the things that makes me wonder why the pushback against Graham Hancock so hefty. It's like Göbekli Tepe is a fucking household name because of him.
Potbelly Hill. Everyone knows that because of Graham.
Because of Graham. And we could, they could piggyback off of that and be like, we don't agree on this, but you got deep pockets and we got the credentials. Give us some money and we'll go dig and we'll figure it. Fucking, it's worked all throughout history. This has been the way things have done. Like I just said, twice on the Giza Plateau in our lifetimes. But
well, hey, look, once you saw COVID, here's a Rosetta Stone for everyone. Once you saw how they did COVID, once that COVID thing unfolded, assuming anyone paid attention to how it unfolded, go ahead and hold that in your head and apply it to every area of expertise. Mm-hmm. Whoever's paying for the expertise is going to be in charge of what the experts say. What I'm amazed at, I used to like really sit there and try to figure out, like, is this person knowingly lying, I don't give a shit. I mean, you're a punk. Richard has until 4:30. We need to do a post show. Okay. Sorry, I got a comment. Anyway, I forgot what I was gonna say. It doesn't matter. I want to read this comment real quick because let's see. Why do people call him Kerp? Can somebody fill me in? My actual name is Kerp Mebsker. And I'm a stand-up comic named, I use my stage name Kerp Metzger because it sounds a little better. Margaret Thatcher covered up the MP's child abuse scandals in the 80s to preserve government continuity, and successful governments have continued to cover up. Yeah, of course. And that's what Trump's doing now. Trump, he can never release the Epstein information because the entire Western world will collapse, which I'm into, but I know some people, the West, I got so many friends that talk about the superiority of the West, and I want to ask them what the fuck they're talking about, because all the things they hate also happen to come from the West.
Never been there.
You've never been?
To answer the question, why do we call him Kerp?
Yeah.
Kyle Dunnigan's a comedian. He used to do a skit where he played Sylvester Stallone. And Kurt. But
I played his, I was like his.
You live in his garage.
Yeah.
And he couldn't say your name.
No, yeah. Okay. So we want to get Segura to play the real Kerp. And what the joke was I live with Sly in his converted garage. And I'm like his friend that he possesses, and he's like really disdainful of me, but he also doesn't like me on the road doing my magic career. Like he belittled stand up. And he also didn't know my name. And for some reason, he thought I was a guy that helped him out at a Build-A-Bear one time when he was having a hard time. And he'll never forget my eyebrows. And that's why he knows. And I keep trying to tell him I'm not that Kerp. So we wanted Segura to come in at some point and be like, hey, Sly, it's me, Kerp. But anyway, that we're trying to think of a stupid name that he would fuck my name up with, and guys, what Kyle came up with, Kerp, and it's such a dumb name. But let's see, Kerp Your Enthusiasm, is that a reference to Larry David being mentioned by the supposed Epstein niece? Did you watch Sean Atwood's thing?
I didn't see the part where she talked about Larry David. I tapped
There's
out.
No, okay. Oh, I didn't tap. I watched the whole thing because, by the way, that Phoenician bathhouse that he has.
Yeah, from Lebanon.
From Lebanon. Of course, that's Baal worship. That's Baal Hadad worship. Of course it is. So she's
and
not wrong.
Jackin and Boaz in his whatever you want to call that place.
And
that
ultimately, the leader of the Freemasons is Baal, the worship. You know how they say Baal means Lord when you look it up? I don't think it does. I think it means master. I think there's a subtle but important difference.
It's all just a battle of harvest gods, bro.
Well, okay.
El and On and Jehovah and Yahweh. There's a whole bunch of harvest gods back in the day because they live in the desert.
Okay, the original human thing, AP, sorry we got off track, what that was these bloodlines that still run the world for some reason, royalty
like
and
Rick
such.
Springmeier?
Yeah, but a lot of people's Reynolds talks about it too.
No, I know. I'm just saying Fritz Springmeier is a preeminent author who's talked about, because I think his book back in the day was 13 Bloodlines of the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so anyway, they've been putting stuff in you got petroleum in your Fruit Loops. So they've been mutating people according to their own whims, the way we do with small dogs. That's all. So, yeah, no, you're probably not. Also, there's some occult thing where they're obsessed with going from vegetable to animal to mineral. You've heard this shit?
It's like from carbon to silicon?
And it's really... And so, you know, those big head gray homunculus things that you see that have... I don't know if they're a form of astral herpes, but... They are. That's what I think. Greta Thunberg. If you had an evolution chart, right, with Greta Thunberg, and you go like four generations, dude, that's what you get: big-headed gray things. Right.
Four generations. It might only take three, but I'm with you on that.
I'm being optimistic about it because the new generation of Spurgs is really something else.
Oh fuck, that girl from The Last of Us. Holy shit. I can't think of the actress's name, but God, the fucking mutant McNugget if I ever saw one.
Thank God I can't work the windows on this, or I'd put a picture of her up and we'd all regret it.
We'd all be like, oh, fuck. Okay. My next 10 boners just died.
So a guy said, jerk. No, sir, it's Kerb.
I'm the hack. I'm sure I'm the hack because I've talked shit about Robert Zephyr in the past, so I'm sure.
So Robert Zephyr, I watch him a lot, actually. Now, again, that's a good one where I go, okay, there's some useful stuff here, but I happen to know a lot of mistakes that he has made as well.
Sure, but I can still watch his videos. Yeah. I just don't take them all.
And because I don't
watch everything, I just, you know, check it out.
You could see what plays out and what doesn't in the end. But anyway, Robert Zephyr, what makes me laugh is... all the videos of him walking around by himself, like he's been holding in his cum for 20 years. Like he has a look on his face like a dude that's been holding in a load for the last. And he's like, an alchemy. That said, alchemy is holding your jizz in. Well, I just watch him a lot. And then I got to do a Robert Sapir version of a guy. I'm going to figure it out. But he's a member of some cult called Samael something, which is a Brazilian occultist group, which I got it, or I don't know if it's Brazilian, but it's not. When they have an accent, I actually don't trust you. Is that prejudiced? It is, but I don't trust it. And he's a follower. And the reason I found that out is there's some other occult guy that has a channel that brought it up who wasn't even trashing him for being in that because he was an occult guy himself. So a lot of his stuff is coming from that orientation. Just like who's the Baha'i UFO man? Stephen Greer.
There was also a weapons inspector back in the day, not long ago, who was part of the Baha'i. He was found dead behind some hedges in the UK. It was a big deal.
Wait. The guy from the Baha'i or Stephen Greer?
No, the guy from the Baha'i who was the weapons inspector. So it was just another Baha'i. Because you ever... I mean, I looked into the Baha'i. They have a central organization of unifying religions based out of Israel, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's all theosophy bullshit and that coexist bumper sticker shit that makes no sense.
Fusion of the historical cults, Moses Hess called it back in the day when they were taking over Freemasonry in Europe for the Zionist, like proto-Zionism. So it's just an extension of that history still ongoing because no one knew about it.
Genital herpes, that's a fair Roberto Contreras says, no fap chemist. I'm a student of fap chemie. Is gooning without coming. Okay, wait. Stephen Greer was a Freemason, not a good guy. Is he? I mean, if you're anybody who's anybody, you got to be a Freemason, don't you? I thought that he was. No, I used to watch him because I think they have had all this technology. Somebody has had this technology. I don't think, you know, I say us, but it's clearly not us. But somebody has it. And I'm watching Stephen Greer talk about, well, I briefed President Clinton about this in 19. I'm like, why?
Yeah, he's not going to be able to open it because the president doesn't have control. Like Area 51 is owned by some outside of our government contractors. And it's just like a big filing cabinet for people in the future who aren't even here yet. They're like, my theory has always been, because studying history over, you know, human writing, right? Since writing has gone on and history has happened, I've only seen human beings playing tricks on other human beings. Mm-hmm. So it's not too far out my spectrum to think that Raytheon or Northrop Grumman in the year 2063 sent some time capsule back to 1948, said, open this shit, reverse engineer it, and get a jump on your competitors. Mm-hmm. And then along the way, they've been holding things that are in places that no president can go access and audit. Like there's a whole lot of that stuff. And we're just living between two points in time. So if they ever did that in the future, we live in a time that could be adversely affected because they wouldn't use it for our benefit. There used to be an NSA show called 7 Days, where the NSA had a time machine in Las Vegas, but they could only go back in 7 days and they would prevent catastrophes, but that clearly is not going on.
Yeah, no, they
in Gaza.
They have look, I think that the aliens are interdimensional trillionaires. I've been clear about that. I think they transhumaned and they cannot detransition now. So they have
David Icke's Sleestak theory.
What's that?
Well, you didn't ever watch Land of the Lost when you were a kid? Yeah. The Sleestaks were the reptiles that lived in the caves with the dinosaurs, but probably, you know, existed. David Icke's reptile theory back in the day. I was just like, he was watching Land of the Lost, you know, Land of the Lost.
That was one of those disclosure shows. Land of the Lost. Wait, so okay. Sid and Marty Croft figured it out, man.
That was some trippy shit, dude.
So I think David Icke, my little hypothesis about him, because he'll push a lot of Hindu bullshit, by the way, which I got no respect for. I think that the reason royal British people love that, they love a good Buddhist or Hindu crap. And why? Because they like people who think like fucking cows. So Temple Grandin, the famous Spurg who could talk to cows because she's autistic, and gave TED Talks about it, right? And she could think like a cow. I can see how that would be very valuable to some very powerful people, and they would plot to make more Temple Grandins, you know?
Yeah. I really think they liked the caste system, all the gold, the Mughals, because the Mughal kingdom was one of the biggest economies in the world until the East India Company jacked them during like the Second Opium War, and then they disappear, and UK and United States are at the top. I showed all the charts. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense unless you factor in East India Company.
Yeah, this is a narco terror state. That's what England is, a narco terror state. And we're a muscle for a narco terror state. They're all based on that.
We're like Stallone before he was fighting. Remember when he was the lone shark enforcer?
Yeah, that's Rocky exactly. Man. We are Rocky. No, I honestly, that's probably a great analogy. What's happening, Mark? Mark?
Mark's here to do a Burgess impression.
To back up what Rich is saying, all that money from the Dutch East and British East India Company went into a lot of it went into Yale University. And what did that get us?
Skull and Bones, some great presidents.
In 1832, Skull and Bones was founded. 1832 is when the East India Company privatized opium smuggling.
That's why they were formed.
East India Company founded Yale because it's founded by Elihu Yale, who worked for the East India Company. It's supposed to be Oxford for America. All those original colleges, the Ivy League is just what the royal regime left behind. And then they renamed like King's College, New York as Columbia. But those are the places installed by the empire. And that's why they still have leadership and they create the Mandarin class of managers to implement the interchangeable people part.
Who would be interchangeable? Now, obviously, I'm very valuable.
Jamie Dimon. I mean, there's 100 cutthroat dudes that'll do that job. Not all of them went to high school with Sean young.
Well, that's why they're dinosaur people. You know, that's what David Icke's theory is. And part of it I understand, but his whole story is he heard a voice in his head one day, right? Correct?
Yeah, but I think he was tripping balls down in Peru or something. I have him on Grand Theft World coming up in October, I think. I can ask him that, maybe.
Yeah, and I'm not to insult him, but I know voice to
skull. He was a footballer. He played soccer, what we call soccer. And then he had some like Christ consciousness type of experience, ego death experience. Then he went on the Terry Wogan show or something. And everyone saw the clip after that. And then he's like, well, I'm not going to do football announcing anymore. And I guess he wrote some books.
He said he, well, hold on. I'm getting a secretion from Christ.
Secretion from Christ.
Hold on. My secretion is coming.
I think I downloaded that once by accident.
All this creepy ass holding in your jizz shit is what that is. Jim Carrey was telling Norm MacDonald about it on an episode of Norm Has a Podcast. And Adam doesn't even remember it, but it's the crazy. And I saw it first on Robert Sapir. Well, Robert Sapir was explaining the various secretions.
The alchemists used to boil down their piss to make the phosphorus or whatever. There's a light causing element that they boil.
And you have a nice golden dawn of drinking your own pee. These people are crazy as bedbugs, basically. And all this is all that Phoenician bathhouse that Epstein had.
Yeah.
The Phoenicians are like the first drug dealers, kind of, aren't they? Like, they're seagoing pirates. They, you know, we still make snake venom antidote the same way, but we use a horse. But all their medicines are running poison through a human body and then harvesting the results of that. So that's how they would make remedies and stuff, but it's all body fluid. So that's where I bet you're getting your adrenochrome stuff and your, new cushion that's ground human bone in it.
Mark, hook me up with a little full screen. So Phoenicia is a place of origin for a lot of mystery societies and secrets, you know, mystery schools that still are like floating around today. Phoenicia, they invented something called the alphabet. And the Phoenicians were a seagoing people. So they had these great ships and trading routes and commerce. And then they went and took over. I mean, they participated in slavery as well, some interesting things. Maritime admiralty law, a lot of that goes back to the Phoenicians and the Phoenician Empire. So there's a long history to that. Now, that is kind of like Phoenician Canaanite area that's today Israel-Palestine. So there's a long history to this. Also megalithic peoples of Malta. Dan.
Yep, there it is.
Right, so you got the temples in Malta for giants, but they weren't necessarily giants. They just looked that way. So there's some interesting aspects of that that I've looked into. But the Phoenicians, the best resource, where did I learn all that stuff back in the day? Was listening to Jordan Maxwell tapes, DVDs, VHS, all that good stuff. He did a lot of exposition on that type of history. Also, the Executive Intelligence Review, EIR, they wrote Dope, Inc., and there's several lectures, not only on the Venetian black nobility, which were like latter day functions of the Phoenicians, like in their image, but like modern back then. So there's a lot of cool history on that. And you would learn a lot about how the world works by reading outside the lines of prescribed readings. Literacy is a form of slavery until a method of critical thinking is practiced objectively and consistently by the reader.
You can find
Harper's Weekly article from.
Well, there he is.
Looks like. I'm stunned. Yeah, here he is.
Nice.
This is a Harper's Weekly article from like 1840. Can you hear me?
Yeah, is it about Shasta? Is that what you're talking about? I read something in Harper's Weekly about Mount Shasta. What are you talking about?
No. It was like this skeleton standing on the campus of Yale University, and it had a sash on that said communism. So way back in like only 10 years into Skull and Bones being at Yale, people in the area of New Haven were already clued in that there was something strange going on.
Yeah, no, they want to. It's Fabian socialism, isn't it? That's the group, the Fabians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in our history, we don't know anything about this because it's a philosophy. Fabius, let me type and talk at the same time. Fabius Maximus Cunctator was a general during the time of, I think, Julius Caesar, right? And his tactic was a war of attrition, attacking supply lines, a bunch of things that weren't like the usual military style. So it's similar. His history was similar to what like Napoleon did to revolutionize warfare and give autonomy to various factions so that they could beat armies that are being led from hierarchy. So anyway, Fabius Maximus is used because these people are not going to come at you head on. They're going to attack your supply lines. They're going to attack your education system and turn it into indoctrination. So the Fabian strategy is one of cowardice, and it comes from Fabius Maximus. It's a war strategy, but you add the socialist part of it, and then all of a sudden you get the intelligentsia of Great Britain and a lot of Americans as well. But you've got people like Beatrice Webb, Bertrand Russell. You've got John Dewey, Leo Amery. I mean, a lot of these people are among the movers and shakers of Western society during the late 1800s through World War I into World War II. And a lot of like what George Orwell is talking about is Fabian socialism unfolding within his country. And so there's a long history to it. If you get a list of who were the people in the Fabian society back in the day, there's a list of notorious people who seem to be working on a plan bigger than any nation state's goals. So I would call that supranationalism, or like a supra-governmental type of top-down influence.
Global governance, we like to call it in the regular world, because that's always the goal. How do we get to Star Trek times if we don't first have a nuclear war?
Listen up, guys. It's summertime, and the heat is on. You're sweaty, you're looking good, your lady is tight. She's wearing the slimmest bikini you've ever seen. You're on vacation, you've spent hundreds of dollars, you've had a great day. You went to the restaurant that your partner chose, of course you let her choose, but you don't want to let her down. It's vacation. Do it right with Hims. When you get to the bedroom at the end of the night, you want to make sure that you're there 100%, that your performance is top notch, like an F1, okay? I'm talking Gran Turismo, engines running, she's roaring, she's hot and ready to go. There's checkered flags on the floor. Stop what you're doing. If this sounds like something you need, check out Hims, Hims.com. They can help you with a range of personal treatment options for ED, okay? We do hard mints, chewables, tablets, whatever fits your bill. But I'm telling you, folks, when you're out there and you're turning on your lady, you want to make sure that you're all there. And if you're not, Hims can help. So get simple access online to personalized, affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more. Just visit hims.com/crazy. That's hims.com/crazy for your free online visit. hims.com/crazy. Skip the doctor, skip the waiting room, all that nonsense, these criminals in white coats. Go straight to the source, okay? This is like cartel stuff here, folks. Right off the boat, okay? The highest quality ED treatments that you can find. Stay rock hard this summer with Hims. Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. hims.com/crazy. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. I'm your host, Mystic Mark. And I want to bring attention to one of my favorite sponsors. That's Mood. Mood thinks cannabis should be accessible, affordable, convenient, and transparent. But most importantly, they believe, and I believe, in supporting the American farmers who make all of this possible. That's right, made in America. Like the outfit that I have on, my t-shirt, my Hard Enco jeans, all 100% made in America. So why would the cannabis I'm smoking be any different? That's right, Mood created an online source for 100% federally legal cannabis grown on small, pesticide-free American farms. You can't beat that, folks. Go American, go local if you can. Keep it within our borders. Support this country. And I'm going to support you by giving you 20% off your entire purchase for first-time buyers only. Just use the promo code CRAZY at mood.com. That's mood.com. MOOD.com. I'm telling you, folks, Mood stands behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code CRAZY. So head to mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. Remember to use the promo code CRAZY at checkout to save 20% off your order of American cannabis. Go and check it out today at mood.com, and we'll be right back to this episode in just a moment.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Or that's the lore of Star Trek. First, there's a eugenics war.
Well, that's in H.G. Wells' 1938. He wrote a book called The Shape of Things to Come, but then they made a movie through London Films, the MI6.
It's on YouTube.
MI6 Front Company. Zoltan Korda and his brother made Things to Come, which shows society go through a nuclear holocaust, and then everybody that's left, it's under tribal warfare, rocks and sticks. And then like two-thirds through the movie, spoiler alert, because it's a 100-year-old movie, Wings Over the World comes in, and they have this super, they got these super technology, and like, you know, it's like an Elysium for back then. That's always been their goal. Also wrote The New World Order, because I have the 1938, that's a first edition, 1938 New World Order, 1939. He wrote The New Machiavellis, The Open Conspiracy. Like, they're just telling us. It's like done in the open now.
Well, it can be, because nobody knows what anything is. And also, if you tell them, they don't want to hear it.
There's the whole psyop of it's all everything's flat earth. That's the way I always say it, because that's kind of how they do it. It's like, well, all right, flat earth is clearly bullshit. So, all right, this guy's got some weird ideas on physics. We'll attach that to flat earth. It's bullshit. This guy's got some ideas about the CIA. That's flat earth or bullshit. Aliens might have visited. Flat earth or bullshit. And it's like, well, dude, at a certain point, man, you know, Bertrand Russell had the mental idea of Russell's teapot. It was like, he says, if somebody tells you that there's a teapot on a saucer orbiting Jupiter, you could be forgiven for not believing them. You don't need evidence to dismiss that. And that's like, at the very best, if you're trying to be skeptical as fuck, that's the very best you can put a lot of things like Atlantis in. You could say, well, I can't prove it, but I can't disprove it. But a flat earth is an entirely different fucking ball of wax, man. I can go spend a few $100 and launch a rocket up into space and take a picture of it and fucking stream it to myself from a GoPro nowadays, right? You can look on YouTube. People have done it.
I don't know any of the science, and I cannot argue with a flat earther. If they want to get scientific, I got nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Here's what I don't get. The amount of people that have to be in on that, besides Big Compass and all the pilots, and I would think almost all the ship captains.
any conspiracy that requires North Korea and the United States to be in cahoots is null and void in my mind.
Well, like, you know, I could see cahoots for things smaller than the shape of the Earth, and I'm not seeing what you're getting by pulling that off. By making me think the Earth is round, what is it you've gotten out of me?
Exactly.
And so when I would ask my friend Flat Earth Dave, I haven't seen him in a long time, and I gave him the name Flat Earth Dave, that merch. it's not creative, but I did, was the first guy. But he'll tell you it's because of something with a soul net, and he'll go into a David Icke speech, because he's a sincere believer in this. But some of them, they'll go, I don't know why they're hiding it. And I think they're lying. And my wild hypothesis is this is some kind of Jesuit op, because it creates a bulwark of someone that, because it's all out of Catholicism. I would think it was like like Dan's kind of snake kissing Baptist people. It's not. It's Catholic. Zion, Michigan, the crazy ass flat earth town that existed for a while until the cult leader had tax problems. That was it was a Catholic cult. Almost like Owen Benjamin's bear colony.
Well, a lot of it's attached to the four corners of the earth, right? Because the Bible, and that's something, the archaeoastronomy, that's, you know, on your summer solstice, there's one, the sun rises into one symbol of the zodiac. And it's basically, it mirrors your four cardinal points on a clock, where you only have to have four times denoted on a clock to know what time it is, right? And that's what this, is almost clearly, in my mind, a reference to that summer solstice, spring equinox. These are the four cardinal points. And those were the four corners of the sky, the four corners of the earth. So
it's occultic as shit.
And, biblical,
I could believe, though. Now, look, if I was somebody who broke out of time, like Richard Grove said, and hypothetically, Raytheon or somebody does in 26, let's say whatever. Mm-hmm. Once somebody does that, that means it has always happened. Does it not? Yeah. So then there's not a thing like past or future. So they go, oh, the aliens are us from the future. That doesn't mean anything. Maybe they're us from the past. They're not in the thing, so you can't apply that to them. And if you play a video game like Grand Theft Auto, and if you listen to the way these entities supposedly behave, it's like they're in Grand Theft Auto doing whatever, trolling for kicks to feed off the negative energy they create, like trolls do, right?
Yeah.
So I play my video games on a flat screen TV, so I'll bet if I was at a higher perspective, it would be flat to me. But I don't live in that. I live in three dimensions, and it's not flat for me.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, I could see a way that's a view someone has.
Sure.
But I don't think it's the view I have.
Clearly,
I'm clearly in evolutionary space, you know, like time, change over time. I'm not saying what turns into what, and I'm not saying nobody fiddled around with it, but in three dimensions, that's how it works. That's just how it works. It's not like, I don't see how it takes away from anything with God. I think I think those are just
leaps to conclusions, though. Because it's like, if you look at the history is a lot of these people who made discoveries, they left their work behind for us to check, and you can learn how to do it too. So there are people who have known that this planet is round, spherical, for thousands of years. They argued over whether it was the center, or if the sun's at the center, or if it's a circular orbit, or an elliptical orbit with two foci, to reconcile all the contradictions and moon phases. And by the time you get up to Tycho Brahe and Copernicus, I challenge you to read through the math that they did to get those conclusions, disprove it or improve it with your new theory. But most people will just say, I can't, I'm not going to try to do the math or learn how to do math. And I'd say, this is why you still think it's, you know, a long time ago. That's
challenge refused is what I say.
So I'm not going to say learn geometry, trigonometry, and calculus, because that just seems like I'm throwing work instead of doing a thing. But I'm saying the people that figured out where we are today, it's called The Great Conversation, and it's in great books of the Western world. So just get the volume on Tycho Brahe and Copernicus. And when you don't understand it, then read back in history until you can do the math that is done in like the Greek times, and then work your way forward for understanding and learning. That's what education is. Not coming to a conclusion and saying this is it, despite it doesn't match the evidence.
But I like to know what sphere I'm in. Am I in the Flatosphere?
In the Rogan sphere.
I'm in the
right?
I know I'm in the Rogan sphere.
Kirk, but have you heard about Copernicus?
Copernicus? Yes, I have.
That's a t-shirt right there.
Copernicus.
The Earth is Kirk.
Hold on. Let me get my Copernicus hat.
Holy shitting dick nipples, SERP and be bunking together at last. All right. SERP and be bunking. All right. We're degenerating all the way down.
Yeah. You're crushing.
Oh, there it is.
I'm glad you brought up.
Have you heard that story? Killing Tycho Brahe?
No. Yeah. What is that? See how I keep the label.
Do you know about how Copernicus might have killed Tycho Brahe because of Tycho's discoveries?
There was a little bit of competition back then.
And also, they used to have Tycho, all the interest math things. Yes.
Yeah, Brahe was. Yeah. Excuse me. I'm lagging because I'm also hosting the stream. So excuse my shitty off the grid connection. But the story goes that Copernicus was basically
like an intern to Brahe for some time, and people theorize that Copernicus poisoned Brahe and took him out of the astronomy game because his discoveries were more in line with the ancient perennial philosophy, and they were trying to basically kill God and get people away from that whole motive of seeing everything like a harmonic clock of God, and how the planets would spin and make music and dance together. I mean, it was a really artistic way of looking at it, and they wanted to move away from that and get into the world of materialism, hard numbers, and rational thinking.
And that's
where
we
are today.
But it wasn't about Copernicus. But when's Copernicus from? What years roughly?
Like the 1400s.
Oh, yes. I know, of course, because of my hat. But this, when,
yeah.
Use your palantir to see the future, Kurt.
For the magic nerds in the chat, he looks like a prodigal sorcerer.
Yeah, I'm not an adept yet, Dan, so I can't speak in tongues. But
blah, blah, blah. I can't burg it.
How the hell do they wear these? Anyway, I thought that Galileo, didn't he steal his thing from Heidegger, and then Isaac Newton, or was it Heidegger with Isaac Newton? Like, Newton was
It's Newton with Leibniz, the calculus.
That's thing. What it is.
Yeah, because Heidegger is way later, and he wasn't contemporaries with Galileo. But we got there.
I can't remember which of these great men lived men.
And I would say that Leibniz is more reliable on calculus than Newton, just because Newton, like, there's a lot of flaws in Newton's thinking, and he wrote more about the Bible than he did about physics.
There's a box of his, like, his secret box of like his great work that was hidden for a while, because when they found it was a bunch of like Robert Sapir holding in your jizz alchemy. And somebody said Robert Sapir is the most dangerous anthropologist. That's right. He has so much cum in him right now. If Robert Sapir were to detonate, that would be the end. And that's straight from fucking Copernicus. Imagine if Robert Sapir, that jizz grenade of an anthropologist. I would love to have him on. I don't know if, you know, my jizz comments will.
I'm sure he'd be happy to come on you, Kirk.
Like to have him on the show, I said.
On the show.
Come on.
Yes.
Me.
Yes.
America's Secret Establishment, Anthony Sutton. I think you, Rabbi Richard Grove sent me that. Did you not?
Oh, yeah. It's part of every man's education. You got to know about Sutton.
Yeah. And Rabbi Grove sent me Tragedy and Kirk by Carol Quigley. Someone wrote that.
It makes you guys feel better. Rabbi can be short for Rabbit Hole Concierge, because I show them the rabbit holes. But Rabbi also means teacher. So we can roll with either one.
Okay. I'm going to make some wild predictions now that I have my fucking Renaissance hat on. Do you have any predictions, Richard Grove, before we have to go? And where can they find you?
I think we have to go to Sagar and Crystal Ball for predictions. No, that's not what her name means.
Into my crystal ball.
My website is grandtheftworld.com. It's also the name of my podcast. We do a live stream every Sunday night for 7 hours from 9:30 till 4:30, 5, 6 a.m. We go long and hard into the New World Order. And during the week, I teach people, especially adults, how to think, how to solve any problem, how to learn anything, and how to level up in life, because they don't teach us that in schooling, because that's an indoctrination. So we give people a decentralized, true education. And that's at getautonomy.info.
Wait, is this still full screen, Richard?
I'm still full screen, but I'll take it.
And I, Richard Grove is, like, as I said, my rabbi, because all these books I got, he sent to me originally. Now I say, if you want to learn anything, hold in your cum. People can disagree.
Books work too, though.
Hey, it's The Secret of the Golden Flower. If you look it up, it's a Chinese philosophy book. And that's one of the things it does, is teaches you to get going. It says that the Taoist monks would come into town, sell all their goods, use all the money to fuck hookers and never come once, and steal their life energy and run back into the woods.
So, well, I have noticed an extreme loss of life energy every time. You know, I don't.
I fall asleep.
Dude, this is what I say to my girl. Like, I waste all my cum wishes. I don't invent rockets or nothing. I just wish for more wishes. I'm doing it wrong.
Okay, you're waking up to talk to your girl afterwards? Jesus, I'm usually asleep like halfway through.
No, my girl's some kind of witch, and I know she's draining my life force from me. I can't put my finger on how, but I know she is. She has an experience with an orb, a real experience. She casually told me about waking up with an orb over her with like blue. It was, she describes it really creepy. I was telling Jesse Michaels about it on his, American Alchemy show. And also it was pressing down on her, even though it was like floating above, which sounds very much like a plasma ball with a magnetic thing holding it in place because of the gravity of it. She told me all this, and I was like, did you love that orb, you fucking bitch? Did you fuck you?
It's an OnlyFans drone.
I throw it in her face every day. I go, are you thinking about that orb?
Oh, God damn it.
I will never let it go. That she once fucked it. Oh, you go. Oh, some of you are out there worried your girl might have been with a black guy. My girl fucked an orb. Okay. That's neither here. That's neither here nor there.
Fucking orb Dan, lover.
Dan, yeah, I love your channel, dude. Dan, tell them where they can find you.
I'm on YouTube at DDunking. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram as well, but most all my stuff's on YouTube. I focus a lot on Atlantis, lost civilizations, archaeology, and I got kind of a penchant for holding the debunkers to task and keeping them honest because, let's be honest, a lot of times they're just selling snake oil. They're just telling you that they can prove something's wrong, and they usually just end up, you know, poking a tiny little hole. A lot of times they end up flat, outright lying. And a lot of times their whole point is just to make you think a certain way. Make sure you got that faith in the scientific method and scientists in general, rather than, you know, actually concerning themselves with whether the information you're getting is right or not. So I found a lot of field to plow when I started doing this.
Yeah, this guy plows a lot of field, but he doesn't come.
Nope, only with the orb. That orb hits my prostate and I just can't hold
it. Called her a whore on many of the occasions.
You dirty horb.
I called her a dirty horb. But for real, she has that experience. It's the weirdest thing. She told to me, like, she had forgotten about it, kind of. And it creeped me. There's something with orbs and plasma. I don't know what it is, but there is. Watchy dunking. You guys know pseudoscience. That term is invented by the Rockefellers.
Yeah.
All the words everybody has were handed down to them by rich perverts to use.
You know,
like your entire framework was given to you by an old rich pervert that's inbred as shit and thinks they came from Atlantis.
And he's on the list that doesn't exist.
Yeah, right. And they go to, and that's what all that weird Epstein. I don't know what faction Trump's in. Like, I try to figure out what factions they're all from, but it's above me. I still can't put it together. I know
it's like what camps at Bohemian Grove they stay at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm kind of old-fashioned. Once you start diddling kids, I'm not really concerned about like what flag.
Well, that's why you'll never be respected in the field.
I know.
Oh, I guess you're allowed to come then, though, huh?
Well, sometimes you just can't help yourself, you know.
No, that's a real thing. That's like here. Just before we go, let me just release the secret of the 33rd degree. A hole's a hole.
That's Freddie Mercury.
Mm-hmm. And that ties back to the Red Heifer because they're trying to rebuild the Holy of Holies over there with the temple.
Oh, so gross, dude. Yeah, Baal's just dick worship at the end of the day. And these people really are sexual vampires. There's ways to vampire people. It has something to do with Phoenicians for some reason. And I think it has to do with them putting poisons in people's bodies, like using your body. That's alchemy, dude. I put poison in you and then your body processes it into something I could sell. Yeah. So that's what we all are, is like a corrupt foie gras farm. You know? Like foie gras, if it's good foie gras, it's not made this way. But the PETA horror story of where all the geese are like held like that and they just force feed them because it makes their liver delicious. That's what every human is to these people. And some of us lay golden eggs sometimes for some reason. So they're looking for that. And they just force, and that's why you're not the original human, to answer that person's questions, because you're a foie gras goose that they've been stuffing poison in. And they want to see if anything alchemically comes out of you, and which they'll exploit that too. So that's a real fun derp with Kerp. You guys just got derped pretty hard today, I feel like.
Hey, you can end every episode with, but what do I know?
No.
There you go. That's your disclaimer.
You just got kerped is what I say. But, I just got kerped. Okay, so I got two. I've already pre-recorded two derp with Kerps. Here's how we're going to do in the future. One, We're going to figure out how to put stuff on the screen to look at.
I can help you.
I know. Richard Grove has an autonomy course. Mark, keep that in mind. I could have autonomy.
Autonomously put the image on the screen.
Myself. Mets, Copernicus. So anyway, next time I got Ali Sadiq. I just recorded with yesterday, who pointed out a bombshell, by the way, to me about the Diddy with that guy dunking over. You know, Diddy's all happy with his because a guy with blonde balls is grazing over his fucking shape up. I mean, I've never seen such joy on a man's face in my whole life as Diddy in that picture. But Ali Sadiq pointed out something that you would need like prison sense to point out, and it blew me away. And I did a court hearing at Matt Edgar, whose dad is Homeland Security CFO under Kristi Noem. He was under Trump in 2016, and then he was out, and then he's back in. And Matt's a comic down here, but he's from L.A. I know him from L.A. And I accused him of being connected to Epstein, and I held hearings. And my evidence was pretty thin, I have to say, but but it wasn't a court case. It's just a hearing. It's like Fauci hearings. Like, you know?
We just talk.
Yeah, we're just people talking. But I did have a judge robe, and Jamar Neighbors was the bailiff, and I had a jury. It was pretty confusing. He was pretty confused by the whole thing, I have to say.
I imagine. I can't think of the comedian's name, but she said it was, I think it was on Kill Tony. She said, probably my favorite joke about this whole shit. She said that in America, we're very, very progressive. We're very diverse. We have a white Epstein and a black Epstein. And that fucking killed me, man. That fucking killed me.
Do you guys know about Puffrey Blackstein, the Epstein of the... Yeah, well...
Well, I'm sure we got an Asian one too. We just ain't found him yet because he looks like his neighbor. So we're like,
oh, I nominate the king of Thailand, the guy that always wears a halter top. And, he holds up with hookers to siphon off their yin energy.
He's the king of Thailand, man. You don't got to say a whole lot more than that. He's fucking land of the femboys, right?
Oh, hell yes. It's a real, that's why it was going to be a catboy song. That's why Nick Fuentes is back on stuff, because it's a catboy summer coming through.
Oh, fuck.
All right. Thank you to my guests and to Mark. You. From the conspiracy van, and you just got curbed. Isn't we off yet?
No.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.